Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Murphy, your host from the National Black Unity News. Today, we're still in, of course, Black History Month, and we're going to be talk about quite a few different things. And right now in the gallery, we have a new upcoming editor by the name of Reverend Marvin Underwood. Welcome to our podcast, sir.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And we have Sister Cheryl Ricks with us, as well as my co-host, Brother Satavi Jaheed. And, of course, before we always get started with our subject matter, we'd like to bring in my brother, Satavi Jaheed, who always has some fantastic news to share with us. Brother Satavi, you have it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. What we do each and every week, we open up this show with a reading from Daily Motivations, African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. It's a blueprint for getting our families out of poverty and casting the curse of generational poverty off our families so that we can move into generational wealth. And reading for the day goes like this. Present and accounted for. If Black America doesn't do something to change the current state of affairs, our goose will be cooked. Ron Delves, Congressman. Reading for the day. There was a man who traveled to 7 continents searching for a rare bird. The bird was special because it could speak 5 languages. The man found the bird at a pet store and told the owner to deliver it to his home. When he arrived at the end of the day, he said to his wife, "Dear, did the bird come today?" She smiled and answered, "Yes." He then asked, "Well, where is it?" She replied, "It's in the oven." "You got to be joking," he said in disbelief. "You put the bird in the oven? Don't you know that bird could speak 5 different languages?" Unimpressed, the wife hurriedly replied, "And why didn't it speak up?" At different stages in our lives, we resemble that bird. Feeling bored or overwhelmed may mean that we approach life like an apathetic child going to school, not present or speaking with enthusiasm, but attending in a fog of indifference. If we play hooky from life by automatically doing what has to be done, but savoring nothing, we're robbing ourselves of the chance to feel alive and live vigorously. We're not answering the present. When life calls, the role. In order to feel alive and live up to our creative potential, we need to make a commitment to being present and speaking up in our lives, not just slumped in the back row, apathetically waiting for the bell to ring. Otherwise, our goose will surely be cooked. I give myself the gift of sitting up front in life. Today, I will answer present and will speak up. And that's our reading for the day. And I will close the note. You know, I've been going through this the last couple of days. Just living these days, this is my law. You never know what day we're going to check out of here. Not that I got a death syndrome, but you know, hey, nobody lives forever, and we need to be prepared for when that day comes, so that our families can be prepared. So, back to you, Dave.
I appreciate that, sir. We always appreciate you, because Brother Satai was a long time soldier, been out here on the battlefield for a multitude of years. And since we started the podcast, several of our members had joined. Dr. Pender from Virginia has joined us, who's also starting the Virginia Black Unity News. And I see my brother Ross Bookie from Panama is with us. And then we have from Florida. Can you unmute yourself, please? With Bugs and Bites, I believe the name of. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? It's a little noisy where I am.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I would like, you know, because you are a very new editor in the publication, and I would like for you just, you know, briefly introduce yourself. Okay, she just hit you.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, David Murphy, for the invitation and for bringing me in. I am B. Karaoke with Duncan Bice LLC. We are a technology and IT organization, and we are national and just became a global provider to some major global organizations. So we're looking forward to being able to work with organizations and technology solutions, telecom, and ICT that we're working with you.
Right here.
Sorry?
Excuse me. Okay, I'm sorry about that. You know, some people don't make this up. You go ahead and continue.
No worries. And so we've been around for a few years, just made 10 years actually on February 15th. And so we're scaling and looking forward to being a part of this organization and helping in all types of ways. Thank you.
And thank you. And you know, for some time, we were looking for someone who's in technology. So family, you know, this format tonight, for those who do not know, the format tonight, we're going to talk about subject matter, you know, not too much related to the National Black Unity News on Tuesdays at 7:30. That's when our family comes together and is strictly talking about those who are participating with the newspaper. And sometimes we have invited guests, and we introduce our new editors at that time. And we also provide opportunities for new editors come in there to share with us, to let us know who you are, what you do, and why you do it. Because we, like I said, we are very supportive of one another. And also, while I'm introducing people, I want to introduce you to a longtime friend, man, a soldier who's been out there, who's been there and done that, Reverend Marvin Underwood. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I want you to introduce yourself and let people know who you are and some of the things that you're doing, sir.
Well, my name is Marvin Underwood, and as Brother David said, I've been out in the world, you know, doing my thing for a long time. And then at some point, God decided to turn me around and transform my life. And so for the last 20-some-odd years working through my church, I decided that God put it on my heart to empower men, because I believe that men are the answers and solution to many of the ills in our society. And if we can help get men into their proper place in society, we'll have a much better society. We'll be able to empower our families, our cities, our states, and our country, as long as they understand that they are the answer and the solution to the majority of the ills in our society.
All right, sir, I appreciate that. And Brother Ronald Miles has just joined us as well. Brother doing a mighty work there, especially in the East Baltimore area, and he deals with quite a few things. And he and I just put together a booklet, and I want him to explain a little bit what that booklet is all about and the significance of it. Brother Ronald Miles, how are you, sir?
I'm doing exceptionally well, Mr. Murphy, Brother Murphy.
Yes, sir.
And as you were introducing me, and I definitely have to thank you so much for helping us put together this booklet. Actually, I'm a believer of documenting our history, and no one can tell our history better than ourselves. Over the last year, we focused on the Chicweb Memorial Recreation Center. Again, this is a piece of history right here in Baltimore that people do not know about, but we're teaching them about it. This was the 75th year of the construction of the Chicweb Memorial Recreation Center. And for those who do not know, this is the only center in America that was built by nationally known black folk. Not just the black folk, but they were nationally known that came into Baltimore to assist in giving us, the black kids, a facility for recreation. So this was the 75th year, and what the RJY Chicweb Council did this year was to do community outreach and celebrating. So we had a number of events that the council sponsored, and then we also are highlighting our outreach and community engagement. So rather than just move along, we actually documented and culminating it into a booklet that will be available within the next couple of days. And I think it's going to be just a precious piece of work that we are documenting black history. And it's just been just fantastic. And I just, again, thank Brother Murphy for his assistance in culminating and putting together so we can publish this particular booklet.
All right, brother. I appreciate you, man, because, see, you know, this would make this podcast and the National Black Unity News so powerful, because we had such a large group of individuals who are putting in the work, as the young folks will say. And, you know, and they don't have to do this type of thing. Just like we have on here, Dr. Barbara Wattis, our editor for the National Black Unity News. She edited the entire publication, those who want their materials edited. And she dots the I's and crossed the T's for us. And so, you know, it's people like this who just put in their blood, sweat, and tears so that we can help ourselves. And then I want to introduce you to one of our overseas brothers. You know, we in England, we in Panama, we all over Africa. Brother Ross Buki, how are you, sir? Can you unmute yourself?
Yes, my brother, give thanks. Good evening to each and everyone, your family and members of this Zoom meeting of the Black News. Pleasure to be here again with you, my brother Murphy. Thank you so much. I know you're doing a great job. And the idea is to liberate our Black people, educate our Black people, and lead our Black people in the path of righteousness. Give thanks, and the Most High protect you and give you strength as you go along with your work.
Thank you so much, sir. This brother, man, I met this brother through a couple of our editors. Brother Cliff will be on shortly, and Brother High Key. This brother also hosts events and international events, and people come from all over the world. You know. So, like I say, we got some soldiers out here, and I don't know. Cheryl Ricks said she. I don't know if she can talk, because she said she may be, you know, double tasking. But Cheryl Ricks, if you can unmute yourself for a minute, if you can talk, because she already informed me that she may not be able to. So, if not, she will unmute herself, and we'll let her, you know, share a few words about some of the things that she's doing. But she's an author. Well, there she go.
Hello, everyone. Oh, my goodness. You know, it is so nice to be a part of this family. You know, there's a lot of people on the wide road leading to destruction with no sense of purpose and direction. But the people that's on this call and the people in this family and community, we purpose-driven, and we're doing the things that we called it to do, and we helping one another do it. Like Brother David said, I'm Cheryl T. Ricks, and I am an author, and I'm also an instrument for the Lord to do some things and make this world better, like He's using all of us. And I'm just so thankful to meet wonderful people like Brother David and everybody else is on this call tonight. And I'm telling you, it's such an amazing community. And if you can just unplug from the news and start looking around at the circle of people that you meet along the way, and they share all that they share, and we give one another what we can to make our journey easier and more profound. And I'm just happy to be a part of the group. I'm happy to contribute the part that God allowed me to contribute. And I just thank God for everybody, because everyone to get on this call, some way, shape, or form, you're a piece of my puzzle. I'm a piece of yours. So just, you know, just thank you for, you know, coming. Thank you for staying. Thank you for your contribution. And thank you for the work that you're doing to make this world a better place.
All right. And Cheryl, while I got you here, there's a new brother on here, brother Marvin Underwood. And I didn't mention this, but Cheryl also do a podcast. And she introduced, you know, I've met so many people through her doing this podcast. And brother Marvin will be starting a podcast in the very near future. And Cheryl, you might give him some pointers on, you know, because we, like you said, we all in this thing together. I will be working with you, brother, because, you know, we dealing with men, and we also mentioned that from time to time we're going to bring, you know, join the men and the women together and have some serious discussions so that we can uplift ourselves. And so
wonderful. I'm looking forward to the connection.
Okay, it will
happen.
Like
I always say, you know, women don't live in a world with all women, and men don't live in a world with all men.
That's
we
right.
live with each other, and we
That's
need to
right.
sometimes have some conversations so that we can get the best that each one have to offer, so we can do better for what God has called us to do.
That's right.
I'll put my information in the chat, Pastor Underwood.
I appreciate it.
All right. And also, as moving right along, because like I say, you know, I like to introduce people because, like I say, this is about us. This is not about David Murphy. This is about we, us, and not they and them. And so, Dr. Charles Pender, can you unmute yourself, sir? Dr. Pender, if you can, unmute yourself, sir. Okay, here, I'll come back to him. And I know my brother, you know, he said he had a real long day, and so I don't know if he want to speak or not, but Mr. Walter Dempsey Murphy from out of Virginia is with us as well. He's the editor of the National Black Unity News. Mr. Murphy, you want to share a word or two?
Just a word or two, David. First of all, I'm glad to hear you guys on the call tonight, especially for you, David. And I want to also make it quite plain that tomorrow afternoon at 7:30, there's going to be the National Black Unity News Tuesday night call. Ladies and gentlemen, for you guys who are with the National Black Unity News, and for any of you who are thinking about coming on the National Black Unity News, come on tomorrow afternoon, 7 o'clock. There will be a link, and if you don't have it, get with David or myself, and we'll make sure that you get it. Back to you, Dave.
And Mr. Walter Murphy, now, I know I say bugs and bites, but you know you have a unique name. Sister, can you unmute yourself again? Mr. Murphy, I want you to introduce to this young lady. I'm trying to hook you two up because she's a new editor, and she wants to be do a presentation on the Tuesday night call. So tell her how she can do that, sir, Mr. Murphy.
Absolutely. You can give me a call or my telephone number or my wife, Kathleen. If you could write this down real quick. Do you have a pencil at hand? Absolutely. My telephone number is 804-721-7515. Again, that's 804-721-7515. And my wife's telephone number, her name is Kathleen. She is the host of the Tuesday night call. And her name is Kathleen Murphy. And her telephone number is 804-721-7985. Yes, 7985. Give her a call first. She'll be looking forward to I'm going to tell her tonight, and she'll be looking forward to hearing from you.
Wonderful. Thank you. I sure will.
All right. This is what it's all about, connecting the dots. Okay, and Dr. Pender himself.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. I hope everyone is fine and doing well. I'm glad to be on the broadcast again with such marvelous people. Yesterday, I went down to Newport News with Trudy. We had an exciting time. There was a engagement in which there were a lot of our people, entrepreneurs, and we actually had a good day. A very good day. But beyond that, I want everyone to have a nice evening, and I hope you all continue to broadcast because I saw something about you wanted to deal with the continuation of Black History Month. And I've been working on that just because being past president of the SCLC, it hit my mind last, I think it was the 19th broadcast. And so we have been going forward with this on how we're going to proceed from here. And I think we have the people on this broadcast who can set the stage to go forward worldwide and nationwide to set it in the hands of those who can actually bring this thing to fruition. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And again, I mentioned earlier that Dr. Pender is the publisher of the Virginia Black Unity News, which will be airing in April. And so wish you luck. And then I just saw him on here. Hope he's still on there. Brother Archie, there you go. Brother Archie, is that you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Brother Archie also is from Baltimore area. Now, he has what you some would call, and a lot of Brother Marvin and I and a couple of us, you know, we come up on the rough side of the mountain, so so did this brother. But you know, like we've all, most of us on here, God has turned our lives around. And Archie presented me Sunday with his book has finally been printed. The hard copy is finally, and I got a copy up here. And I did the layout for him. I did, you know, designed the cover and did the layout for him. Man, it's a beautiful looking book, man, but it's impactful, man. I'm telling you, this brother, those who've been in the world, he hardened all but all kingpins. And, but man, he's a deacon, and he's doing, like I say, man, you know, he's working this thing out. And Brother Marvin, this is one of the brothers that, you know, we can get come on your podcast to share. Because like I said, we all have our stories, man. But Archie, won't you share it with a little bit? Do you have that book with me right now?
Yeah, sure. Let me
Let's see if you can show it to real good. Show some of your work and my work.
Right.
Yes, I'm both.
I'm on Zoom.
There it is.
No silver spoon, but blessed. First and foremost, I'd like to thank David for his inspiring, encouraging me to move forward and getting the book out. I thank God for putting him in my life to help me pursue that. The book is based on a spirituality book, and it talks about my lifestyle and how God has moved from one point to another. Me having so many close brush calls with death, dealing with a lot of kingpins and drug activity and armed robberies when I was coming up and not pursuing the dreams of becoming an actor. But I went out in the world, and what surely ran me out, they eventually did run me back in through my self-centeredness of dealing with trying to get fast money with that instant gratification. But God has a way of getting our attention. And through that process, God has to take us to a place of our own free will in order to get our attention. And that I decided to write a book to talk about how God moved in my life and not allowing the death angels to come my way, but I was spiritually dead. Maybe not physically dead, but spiritually dead. And God uplifted me. He said, so I'll be lifted up, I'll draw men unto you.
Yeah.
And it compelled me to write this book, No Silver Spoon, But Blessed. A lot of guys I ran the street with are related to HBO The Wire. And I used to run with a lot of these guys in the drug game. A lot of them not amongst the living, but I do pray for their souls because they never took a chance to try to build a relationship with God. But I thank God for using me in this process to write this book that whoever may encounter this book will pick it up and get blessed by it. There's scripture that brings every deliverance inside of this book.
Huh?
And it talks about basically deliverance. No silver spoon but blessed. Out of the fire, into the light. And that's what God does. He directs you. He tells the enemy to test them, but don't touch their souls. And that point on, I became an ambassador to help God in some things and help others where he delivered me from. I became addiction counselor and case manager for the Department of Social Service. Retired out after 15 years and went back to work as a pre-recovery specialist for a facility to help others. But this other way that's called the fentanyl way to try to find, help them to find deliverance as well. In that process, I thank God for putting David in my life to help me get this process done. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You did the work. And guess what? I told you it's been a busy week. I don't get out that much. But all last week, man, I had some very interesting events I went to. And they all were so prosperous in so many different ways. And then I see Dr. Leroy McKenzie. This past Saturday, I went to pretty much an all-day event. And come to find out that, you know, in Baltimore now, you know, I've been around so long. Everywhere I go, I run into people I know. And just so happened to be that Brother Leroy McKenzie was one of the guest speakers. And I had a vendor taping that I was sharing, the National Black Unit, and they allowed me to speak as well. But this brother gave a powerful speech. And this brother's an author. I know he authored about 6 or 7 books, man. You know, and he helped many other people author their books as well. So, Brother Leroy, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Brother David. How's everybody doing this evening?
Hey, Leroy.
Now, I knew that he was an author, and I knew that he's associated. And this is another brother, Brother Underwood, that I want you to meet because he's also involved with Black Professional Men. Brothers, he involved with 2 or 3 men. Several men groups that he actually involved with. But like I say, God has blessed us with many talents. Some 1, 2, 3, 4 talents. But this brother got up on that stage and shocked me. He's a powerful motivation speaker, man. This brother gave it up. And I was sitting there with my mouth wide open. And he felt like he was just at home. I mean, like I say, brother, you gave it up, and I appreciate you. But share a little bit about, you know, who you are, because, like I say, a lot of people, like I said, we're introducing each one to one another because, like I said, everybody on here has put in some work and served in one form or another. So, you know, give us a little highlight what happened Saturday.
No, it was a wonderful event. As a matter of fact, I just got off the phone with Catherine and just a great young lady. And she and I have known each other because we were talking tonight. We've known each other over 10 years now. But the Level Up Business Conference, it was a great day of networking. It was a great day of empowerment. It was a great day of connecting with, as you say all the time, Brother David, talk about being, you know, the community coming together, us as business, on the entrepreneur, black entrepreneurs, being together, being able to network and connecting the dots as we should be doing so that our money recycles or cycles within our neighborhood more than 6 hours. And that's the intent of it. And I even mentioned you as well, where you always talk about the media only being less than 1%, black media being less than 1% in the media, but the National Black Unity News being represented and being in these places that you aren't going to see other media. There was no other media there. No other media there covering this event that had the speakers that it had, powerful speakers that gave some just great information, gave some just things that you could take away and use right away. And that was the main thing, was being able to take the tips and tools and gems that they gained from Saturday, be able to use them right away, but then also to be able to network and be able to nourish relationships, because relationships are resources. Clarence Avon said that relationships are resources. And as we begin to kind of know each other and grow with each other, those resources become invaluable in doing that. So Saturday was a great day. It was a phenomenal day. I enjoyed it. I told Catherine this was really good. The food was great.
Yes, it was.
The food was on point. was good. Just the whole vibe of the day, and people were really out networking, and they were really out supporting the vendors that were there too. So it was a great day to me. I enjoyed it tremendously.
Well, see, let me just say this. You know, when you say, you know, first of all, we have to show up. That's why I mentioned that.
Yep.
With the communication that I send out, because you never know who you're going to meet. Now, I've been knowing this young lady, Catherine Trotter, for many years,
mm-hmm.
and I know she's a great event planner, you know, because she puts on, you know, fantastic, but this one was off the chain.
Yeah.
And I talked to her today as well.
Mm-hmm.
And see, because I did show up, ladies and gentlemen, Catherine offered me, David Murphy, she offered me, she said, David, I would like to do an event for you and the newspaper. And you know, we're going to do a little bartering, but she said she's going to put on that. Now, I said, look, I'm getting a little too old to try to put on events and not an easy task. She said, David, I got it. All you have to do is show up. Man, see, that's the kind of stuff. So now, in April, we would have a live event, because we had stopped doing our live events since with that COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to start. But this young lady, she travels all over the country. So, and she also going to be dealing with going into Virginia. I think the Virginia Black Unity News will be associated with her event when she bring it up in this year. And so, again, our territory is expanding in so many different ways because everybody's stepping up and putting in some work. And this is the reason, one of the reasons why we had this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, it is Black History Month. Yeah, we talk about what happened yesterday. Yes, we do stand on great shoulders. And maybe one day people will be standing on ours if we continue to put in the work. But the main thing is, it's good to look back, but now we have to look forward. Today is all we have.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, as we all know, is not promised to none of us, as Brother Satavi so eloquently said earlier. But the point is, if we do what we have to do today, tomorrow's going to take care of itself. And we got work to do. See, we have a tool, ladies and gentlemen, called the National Black Unity News. Now, that, like I say, it goes all over the world. I know we're going to a few places, but there's some places I do not know where it goes at. but I do know one thing about words that don't come back void. And so when we have so many powerful messages in this publication, by just about everybody on here tonight has a page in the publication. And now you just heard some of the things that these individuals on just on this Zoom call right now, the talent that they have. But can you multiply that by 4 or 5 times more people? And that's what's inside the National Black Unity News. But yet we are still infants in the media. We are just beginning. There's many hurdles that we won't have to overcome. There's people waiting on us. Because, again, if you don't know, it's very rare that people see a publication by us and it's for us. We are not kept by anyone. You know, we don't depend on outside resources to sustain us. And that's rare right there within itself. Some say, you know, of course we don't go by what some or they say, but propaganda is a powerful tool. They said that we, black melanated people, cannot come together, cannot work together, cannot support one another. Well, we are living proof. Not only are we coming together, we supporting one another. And not only with the powerful information that we put, but we support each other with our own finances. Everybody pays for their page. And that's unique within itself. And then when people see this publication, and I say this often, that you look at the front cover, you see 14, 15 people on it, black people. When you open up, you see us all sprinkled all over throughout the publication. And people have not seen that type of unity. And we know Mr. Murphy just invited you all on the Tuesday night call. And the paper do what it's supposed to do. But one thing, if you don't show up, and everybody on who do show up on our Tuesday night call know about one thing, we do care about each other. We do support one another. We do love one another. Some people never even laid eyes on it, but had the greatest respect for each other. And I know firsthand. Like I said, if you don't know my story, in the last 5 years, I had a stroke, open heart surgery, cancer, COVID, the whole night. I've been through this. Through the valley of death, as some would say. But through the grace and mercy of God, and see, you know, people, prayer is power. I felt the people from the net, I felt their prayers. Man, and I got so many calls and words of inspiration from this family. And I also tell people this, those who are on Facebook Live, those who are on Blog Talk Radio, this. I'm going to say this openly, and I'm going to say it honest. Martin Luther King had this speech that I've been to the mountaintop. And he said he saw a little white boys, little black children doing this together. But, you know, David Murphy has been around for 40-something years fighting this battle, trying to unify us as a people. And for the first time, now back in the day, these organizations used to come together the way we're doing now, but they never got off the ground because if they weren't the head person in charge, it wasn't going to happen. And even though 90% of what we were talking about, everybody agreed to, but those little 10% that separated us, divided us, and things never really happened. For the first time in my life, I actually see a glimpse of unity, and that's with the people in the National Black Unity News. And so I know firsthand the power of what we're doing. I know firsthand by people contact me. They may not contact each and every one of you. Y'all remember the story about Jesus one time. He healed 10 people, 10 lepers, and only one came back and thanked him. And see, you know, they may not come and say anything to you, but my phone get burned up from people all over the world saying how much they love this paper, how much they inspire. And it's not no secret either, how it has enhanced people's quality of life and actually has saved some people's life. See, words are so powerful. And like I said, and I believe, you know, because of your words, see, I read my own publication. And when I was in the hospital, I was reading the publication, the words from you all, and I could feel the love that permeated off of those pages. And, but you know, again, that's why us, black melanated people, that's why it's so important that we continue the work that God has started. We got work to do. You know, people are dying. And I don't know if y'all know lately, if you're on Facebook and social media, if you notice something that I have noticed, you see a lot of people who what they saw called entertainers or rappers and movie stars all over now. You're saying they gay here, and then they this one doing this to this one, and you, it's, the internet's being bombarded with it. See, that's artificial intelligence. And it's also a tool to continue to separate it. It's also a tool that they're using to make us look bad. And people is believing that. See, print is so powerful that I can take any one of you on here, to be quite frank with you. You might want to hurt me personally, but I can take anybody on here and scandalize you, put it in the publication. And I guarantee you this, I guess about 75% of the people really will believe it. And that's how, that's the power of print. See, that's why they can take a people like Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, Oprah Winfrey, and anybody else who had any claim to fame. And white media has scandalized every last one of them. Now, can you imagine being in your little secluded area if you was of Caucasian persuasion and you reading this stuff and you looking on the news and every time you see, I don't care how much education we have, Clarence Thomas and all the way down to whatever happened to us has been scandalized in the media. And can you imagine in their mind's eye, they thinking, that I don't care how much education, how well they can sing or dance, ain't none of them no good. And that's the mindset a lot of people have about us because they telling their story. They're using propaganda against us. But see, until we stand up, yes, we have each one of us are powerful in our own right. But collectively, the energy that each one of us have when we put it together is called synergy. And it's a powerful, powerful tool. When we, us, come together, unite, to uplift our people. See, we are not putting down any group of race. All we're doing is uplifting our own. See, they can get that negative stuff anyway. I just mentioned the internet's full of it now. You can go to any media, it's full of it now. But you can't find too many media that's trying to uplift the people, our people. And we have the resources, we have the technology and the expertise, not only to help one another, but to help our people all over this world. And if we continue on the race that we're going on, if everybody continue to stand up, put up, continue to do the work we do, there's no limit to where we are going. Now, I'm a visionary. Those of you, most of you on here are visionaries. And usually when you get a vision, it's pretty large. I mean, it's huge. And you know you can't do it by yourself. But nevertheless, you go forth anyway because it will not let you rest. And you, I know everybody on here understands that too. Mm-hmm. But one thing for sure, when you go, God will not give you anything that cannot be accomplished. All you have to do is have enough faith to go forth. And when you do go forth, this is what happened to me. Now I'm looking right on this call right now because I did take one step. Look at the people on here that God put in the circle. Look at the people that you don't see. And look at the people who have been impacted because I just was obedient to the call. But now that we're working here together, we have a young lady on here now. It's technology. Can you imagine? Look how fast-paced this world is moving, and we don't have nobody who don't understand that, who could teach us, instruct us, protect us from it, show us how to use it. That's why y'all need to get in touch with my sister. You know, right now, we got a brother on here now, several people on here got all types of ministries. We need to get in touch with them because it's not about them. It's about us. Yes, Black History Month, all that's good and fine. But my concern is where we go, what we're going to do today and how we're going to impact tomorrow. Now, we got another brother on who just joined us, and I have a great deal of respect for this brother because he's very knowledgeable about a lot of things. Brother Cliff, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Greetings. How's everything?
Greetings. Yeah, pretty good, Cliff. And Cliff is, I would say, an activist. Cliff is a lot of things, but you know more. He's known in our community for being an activist, an organizer. And he's been out here, and he's involved with local, national, international organizations. But something's on Cliff's heart is this. He's trying to, not especially here in Maryland, try to unite Black organizations together. And see, we can't do this thing. If you look at I ain't saying no, if we don't, but I ain't going to say enemies enough, but other people. You know, they're very well organized. You know, that thing we call a system is a powerful force to go up against. But all things are possible. But I'm going to say this. if we, just like with the National Black Unity Music, if we continue to come together, we will make a powerful impact. But Brother Cliff, share a little bit why you trying to formalize these organizations, because a lot of people on here need to start joining these types of things. Can you explain what you're doing and why you're doing it, sir?
Okay. Well, basically the concept, and this is something we've been working on for the last couple of years or so, and I don't think it's anything particularly necessarily new, necessarily forward thinking compared to a lot of other things that have gone on. But over the last several years, I've just kind of noticed the number of organizations that have proliferated, that have popped up. All of them seem to say that one of the reasons why we are in trouble as a people is because we are not unified. One of the things that we must do is to come together. You hear people saying over and over and over again, Africa must unite. Black people must come together. And yet when you look around, if you were to take stock of the events that happen, let's just say in the Baltimore area, because I've been to a few of them. You go to one event in the Baltimore area and you see four or five organizations represented at that event. You go to another event, you see four or five other organizations at that event. You go to a third event, you see four or five more. I have basically identified what at least appear to be between four and five, I'll call them cliques for want of a better word, of organizations that all seem to be comfortable in the same room with each other, but they're not even interacting, as I can see, with organizations from any of the other cliques. So we create organizations, but the organizations themselves are not as successful at actually organizing our community. What they seem to be doing is taking a piece of the community, and that piece of the community follows them, and so on and so on and so on. So there's a degree of organization, but it's generally all around cliques. Sometimes it is around a detail of an ideological mindset, a Black nationalist versus a cultural nationalist versus a Pan-Africanist versus an African internationalist. And we come up with these labels that we put on ourselves, we put on our organizations, and those labels become essentially reasons for us to deal with those organizations and only those organizations. 15 years later, we sit and we're in the same cliques and we're wondering why we're not making any progress. And one of the reasons why we're not making any progress, in my personal opinion, is because of the fact that these different cliques haven't gotten together to really try to bring the entire community together around some kind of a shared, broad Pan-African agenda to achieve critical mass that will be required to move the people forward in a positive manner. So what we were trying to do over the last couple of years with the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition is to invite different organizations, different activists, different organizers to come together regardless of their ideological position, regardless of their specialty, whether they're cultural or legal or educational or spiritual or revolutionary or science or media or prison activist or whatever, to get them to come together and sit around one table and see if there's a way to build some kind of a common strategy so that all of these different groups can move forward. So you don't have a situation like Black Wall Street, which was bombed by its enemies because they didn't have people who could defend them militarily, or the Black Panthers, who had a self-defense agenda and a community uplift agenda, but couldn't defend themselves in court when the Justice Department decided to prosecute all of their leadership from coast to coast at the same time. And that was a large part of the motivation behind building the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition. Now, one of the issues that I have occasionally run into is that sometimes we'll have meetings where we have, 13, 14, 15, 16 people who come. Other times we'll have meetings where there have been four people who were there. And sometimes in those meetings, it seems to go in ebbs and flows. One minute, everyone is saying, okay, yeah, it really feels like we're building something here. And then the next meeting, it goes off the rails or somebody has something to say about some issue and we don't get anything done at a particular meeting. And those are usually at the meetings where there are very few people involved. This led me to wonder whether or not possibly I might even be barking up the wrong tree, which is something I think we have to ask ourselves from time to time, whether or not our assumptions about what we need to lift ourselves up and to move forward are actually proper and correct assumptions. So what I did last week, last Thursday and Friday, is I put together I call it an unscientific survey on building unity and organizing the organizers. And so I have a total of, I think, 12 questions that I threw in there dealing with Black unity in general, what our different organizations are like, and whether or not a common agenda can actually be achieved. I think I've sent that survey out to about 150 or so people. And if anyone here is interested in seeing the survey, throwing down their answers to those particular questions, then I can arrange to have it sent to you either through Baba David or some other means or direct email, whatever it is that you want. But right now, I'm more of a mind of just trying to gauge what the attitude or the feelings are among people who are involved in any kind of organizing or uplift work to find out, okay, really, what are the prospects of this project actually succeeding? We've been doing it for 2 years. And this year, the idea was for us to start moving forward on some of the things we've been talking about the last couple of years. There was a community defense proposal that one of our members came up with, and a couple of other people in the group are actually talking about trying to turn it into a pamphlet or a booklet that can be distributed. They're being careful about that. The other one is a proposal to at least popularize some form of training and education for our people, whether it's simple financial literacy that can happen in our community town halls, or whether it's trades education that can happen through, I believe, the I Am Still Standing organization, which I think Baba David knows about. And then the third thing is to restart the public Pan-African community town hall meetings. And so those were the three things that we were kind of concentrating on coming into this year. And the only one that I know we can pull off right now is the town hall meetings. And that's because the organization that I was with, Sixth Region Diaspora Caucus, has been doing these town hall meetings since 2007. So even if I had to do it all by myself, I can still do it. It can still happen. But I don't want it to be just my organization doing it. I want it to be as many different organizations that want to be involved in this as possible, coming together, making a plan. What do we want to present to the community? What kind of decisions do we want the community to be able to make? How much do we want to hear from the community in terms of what they're dealing with? And then what our plan will be to move forward in answer to those issues that our community brings forward. So those are the things that we've been talking about. And as I said just a minute ago, the one thing I know we can do right away is the town hall. Right now it's between probably late March or early April to do a town hall. If I don't do it late March or early April, then it'll be sometime in mid to late May before we actually do one. And we're talking about either doing it at Arch Social Club or Temple of New African Thought. That's a west side and an east side location. And right now, what I want to do is just kind of get the temperature, find out what our community organizers and our community members think, whether or not they even are that concerned about whether or not we organize ourselves as people on the ground. If they're not concerned about it, then you know I'm gonna take some time off, go on vacation, and go out and chill. If they want to move forward, then we move forward. So that's kind of where I am right now.
Oh, okay. Let me see something here. I see an echo. But Eddie, can y'all hear me? Okay. If y'all can hear me, say something.
I can hear you.
Okay.
We hear you.
Okay. Good. Let me say this, Brother Cliff. I personally, man, appreciate the work that you have done and continue to do. And I also believe that it is necessary for our survival. Because, you know, we can't do, we're not an island. We can't do this by ourselves. And, but, you know, sometimes, for just my opinion, that I'm going to use Jesus as an example. You know, he went up against a lot of things, but he chose 12. It was a small group. And sometimes that's all it takes. It's a small group of us, you know, and then later on, you know, one thing I do know about human nature, when they see smoke, that's when people, you know, they start looking into it and want to join. And sometimes people have the attitude of just sitting back and waiting to see if, you know, in Baltimore and all over, especially black, we have been shell-shod, man. We have been burned. We had been to so many meetings, said we're going to do this and do that, and never came to fruition. But that was yesterday. And see, now I'm a stern believer now because I have proof, just with the people on here now, because I had an opportunity. I have an opportunity. So the rest of us, you know, just look around us sometimes. There's people, I've met people all over the world who wants to do things, who wants to make changes, who are making changes. But the only thing is, like you said, we isolated, we're doing this. And those who understand those clicks, you know, let them do so. But those who want to move forward, I strongly suggest, you know, Brother Cliff just needs some help with your opinions. Is it worthwhile? You know, because sometimes servants get, you know, ask me how I know. Sometimes we get weary sometimes. Sometimes we feel like we're by ourselves sometimes. Sometimes it seems to feel useless sometimes. But, you know, sometimes one thing I can say, we have to stay the course. Now, we all run businesses and services, and we know it get heavy sometimes. Sometimes we're like, there's no way out. But sometimes if we stay in fast, you know, stay the course, and, you know, pray whatever you have to do, that, and the people will show up. But it's up to you because you have that power. One is a powerful force. But when we have the power, two, three, four of us, you know, that's even more powerful. So, Brother Cliff, hang in there. You got me. I'm definitely in. But I understand what you're saying because, like I say, you put in so much time and effort. But for such a time as this, brother, man, I do notice that we are under attack on so many different ways. Our people are dying in the street. A lot of our people are hopeless, and they don't know where to turn. And if we don't stand up, that's what I'm saying, we, the ones who are on this call right now, if we don't take our rightful place and take our stand, because God has blessed us with these gifts and talents, and it's not for us, ourselves personally, we all know that a gift is to be given. We have to go out there. We have to do it by ourselves, because that's what each and everybody on here have done. You went with or without people. Archie would have never finished his book if he just said, you know, I just gave up on it. And like I say, so many of you on here is a powerful, powerful voice. And I also want to recognize my brother, young brother, Vernon Streeter, who have his own network. Vernon, if you want to share a few words, because I gave everybody an opportunity to speak about some of the things they do. Would you like to share, sir? Brother Vernon Streeter.
Yes, good evening, everyone.
How you doing?
All right. You know, just chiming in, listening to everything that's going on. Like Brother Cliff was saying, so many different organizations we meet, but we really don't connect. And to tell you the truth, that sounds like Baltimore. You know, we have so many different organizations, and for some reason, we just don't, you know, like you said, for some of them are nationalists, for legal and different, you know, different ones, but I do agree with him. We do need to try to help each other more. And let's just see what happens. I know if we unify and everything, I think it'll help each organization within itself. That's about it. That's all I have to say.
I appreciate it. You know, that just brought to memory. I repeat myself a lot, you know, but you know, the thing we call unity. For those who don't know, about 5-6 years ago, I was approached by some agents. And they was told that I was the man. See, I cut my teeth on doing a black business director. And they say I was the man. They told, somebody told them that I was the man to do a black directory. So they invited me to this big meeting. And I got another brother to go with me because I didn't want to go there by myself. So I go in there. I'm the only black, me and this brother, the only two black people in the room. And it was about 25 of them, Asians of all persuasions, Vietnamese, all kinds, you know. And they asked me, they said to me, Mr. Murphy, we heard this and we heard this about you. And we want to put together a black directory. And they were going to take care of my financing. And they said, we can give you everything you need to get this thing done. And I asked the question. I said, why do you want to put together a black directory? It got quiet in the room. And then one of the agents stood up. He was from Pakistan. Mm. And he said to me, look, I'm going to be honest with you, he said, we Asians, we really don't get along with one another. He said, the Chinese don't get along with the Japanese. He said, Koreans don't get along with Vietnamese. He said, we support our own, of course, but we don't go across the lines and deal with all these other people. And he said, that's the same thing with Hispanic community. You know, Mexicans don't get along with these over here and them over there. But they say, you black people. He said, y'all have more unity than any group in the world. He said, y'all pulled together. He said, and if it had not been for you all, we wouldn't have the opportunity that we have today in this country. He said, y'all have so much power. He said, the only problem y'all have with each other, y'all just don't know it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and this is coming from the outside looking in. And then I also tell people this as well. Why do you think people come from all over the world and set up shop in the hood and make a fortune from the least of us? Make a fortune because they have power within us, even from the least of us. And so and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to shut this thing down, but I'm going to say this. We black melanated people, we take this thing we call propaganda is a powerful, powerful tool. And if you look at the reality of unity, it's not just us. Let me just say this. You know, I tell my brother this week when we have our deep discussion. You know, when I was a little boy, I lived on a street called Baker Street, the 500 block, no, the 600 block. And there, of course, there was a 500 block of Baker Street. And what separated was Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, in this neighborhood, we all was pretty much in the same condition financially, economically. All kinds of ways, even educational. You know, we had all types of people in that community at that time. But we all went to the same school, elementary school. I had more children on the 500 block that was in my class than I had on my own block. Got along with them well. But if one child from that 500 block got into a beef with one of the children in the 600 block, then I was obligated to fight with the little children on my block to go against that block. It was just territorial. Just one little street separated us. Now, you can go to ancient Africa where they had all these different tribes. They fought one another. You go to ancient Egypt, ancient Asia. Their villages and tribes fought one another. You go to high school, my high school better than yours. I mean, we have all of these little tiny little things that separate us. And it don't have to be a color thing. It can be just territorial, class, and blue eyes, blonde, you know, everything. You know, people just do that. You know, this is a thing that the little stumbling blocks that separate so many people. But like I said earlier today, most of these black organizations have 90% in common what we want to achieve. But we let that 10% of that stuff, your religion or your history or our way is better than your way, and we let that thing separate. But see, that will continue to go on until us, take a stand. And that's why I love so much about the National Black Unity Music. We have Muslims, we have Christians, Israelites, we have Rastafari, we have everybody included in there. We had young people from as young as 11 all the way up to 94, and everything in between. And we are a living demonstration of what unity can be like. And like I said before, not only do we put this publication out with our own words, but we do use our own financing. And that's unique within itself. And that's the reason why we rose to be the number one black circulated newspaper in the nation. We are infants in the thing. Right here in Baltimore, the Afro is over 130-something years old. The Baltimore Times, I remember when they came out, they 40, 50 years old now. At least 40, I know. But, you know, but again, it's not about what happened yesterday. That's why I say this Black History Month. You know, our history, you know, that's what they allowed at us. But everybody say, like Dr. Pittman said, our history is every day. And what we're doing today, we're creating history right now, whether you believe it or not. The National Black Unity is a historical publication. And one day, my children and my children's children are going to pick up this publication. And they're going to see the work that their great-great-grandfather had put in. See, my father, my grandfather, see, they didn't tell their story. I mean, even if they tried to, it was stolen from them or was distorted from them. That's why this paper is so powerful, because now we get to share our narrative, get to tell our stories. That's why we do documentaries. That's why we do these podcasts. This thing is being recorded. It's already going out into the universe right now. And so for future generations to see this conversation we have right now, 100 years from now, this is so much power. And if I open the doors to you, open the veils to you, the possibility of what can take place. Now, I already mentioned to you that there's going to be a Virginia Black Unity News. And shortly after that, there's going to be a Texas Black Unity News. And our goal is to open up every state. Now, if we do that, and I think we're going to do that before this year is out. If we do that, I'm going to just show you the power of us. Do you know we will become the most powerful black media in the entire world? That's right, in the entire world. Just from these humble beginnings, just from a thought. Just because of people like you, y'all made this publication. David Murphy just came up with an idea. But you're the ones that I write one article, just like the rest of you do. One article in this issue, in these papers. But it's the power of us. So everybody on it, we have a criteria. To be involved with this paper, you not only have to have some information that can enhance us with, you know, your better quality of life, but guess what else? You have to have a heart to share and care about uplifting our people. And if we continue to do, no matter what your yesterdays were like, we are all at different stages of life. Some of you are just getting your feet wet. Some of you, but you know one thing about us, our steps are ordered. Those who don't know what that means, you're supposed to be here, or you would not have been. Brother Marvin said, David, I've been wanting to get with you for some time now, but it was timing for him. It's a lot of y'all, you know, just, you know, I mean, you'd be surprised, like I say, when you show up and this, that. Brother Lever on it, how I met him. Like I said, he had a group called Black Professional Men. And I'm in the group, me and my partner Bill Gooden, Black Men Unifying Black Men. I don't know how this happened, but on the same day, the same year, the same month, we both decided to do, at the same time, a book fair, a black book fair, at the same time. And we started putting my stuff in. They put their stuff out. I said, wait, no, this don't make sense. We're going to split our efforts. You know, we're going after the same people. So what we decided, the National Black Union, we decided that we're going to put ours off and change it to a later date. And we took out a couple of tables at their event. And then Brother Leroy and I got to talking. And then that's how we got started with the author showcase. Things like that, you know, how God is working this thing out with us. And you don't have to believe in God. You can just believe in natural resources. But I know, like I say, me and my house, I know what's taking place. But again, it's not the power of David Murphy or Trudy Williams. And I just like to introduce y'all to Trudy. I didn't mention her yet because I think she just came in. But Trudy had worked with the National Black Unity News. She's also working very closely with the Virginia, because she's from Virginia, with the Virginia Black Unity News. Powerful lady, powerful network. Trudy, I mean, like everybody else, I gave everybody the opportunity to speak. Would you like to share before I close it down?
I just want to, and yes, David, thank you. Good evening, everyone that's on the call. And I wanted to say divine intervention, because we had a powerful experience this past weekend. And I just happened to Googled something and found something else. So I do believe our steps are ordered. And we're all here for the same mission. And it is to bring us together and for us to establish a community mindset. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. We are pounding the pavement and looking for opportunities to be able to share, bring us together, partner, collaborate, you know, however it is to help businesses grow and scale, which I had to look that up because scale and growth is not the same thing. But I'm working on it. I'm dedicated to it. I feel like this is my mission. I got out. I got in. I got out. But I'm back in. So I'm here. And I'm transparent, David. You know, and all the members, I mean, we have stories to tell. We have connections. The paper is a solution-oriented periodical, and I believe in that because it's more than just advertising your business. We have to understand B2B and B2C. And if we undergird each other with B2B and make sure that if you need a shoe and Susie sells shoes, go to Susie and buy your shoes. If you need, if you're hungry, find a business that is in your community, a Black-owned business, let me reiterate that, and buy your dinner. Okay, if you have to pay a little bit more, we have to pay a little bit more because we don't have the latitude of the options that other races do. So the price tag is going to be a little bit higher, but if we put our heart and soul in it and give quality service, then...
You are muted.
Then we can come together as a people. You know, you were talking about Dr. King, and I read a quote from Dr. King, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. The momentum going. Keep going. Keep going. Never give up. And we can share success. We can share failure, too, because failure is the recipe to success. If you keep trying, eventually the law of probability states that if you get up to the plate and you keep batting, you're going to hit a home run. And that's what we need to do, and that's my two cents.
Man, all right, I appreciate that. And piggybacking on what Trudy just mentioned is this. We can talk the talk, we can talk and walk it, but until we be that, what Michael Jackson said, that man in the mirror, you know, we can't depend on no outside sources. You know, start with you first. Make a concerted effort to do what you need to do. That's you're the only person you're accountable to, yourself. But then if I'm accountable to myself, you're accountable to yourself, and we all are accountable. Can you imagine, like I say, with this synergy that we can, when we start looking out for one another, but we all individually have to do our part. Now, I do need your help. This is not an easy task, what I do, putting a publication together, and I deal with quite a few people. I need your support. In order for us to keep doing this, I need your support. Just as much as you need mine, I'm a wealth of information. I'm a wealth of talent. And I will, and anybody who knows me, know I will pour it out all over you freely. Because that's my mission. That's why I deem myself a servant of servants. I serve people who actually serve people. That's the mission God gave me. But also, you know, a servant is worthy. You know, I need help too to continue this work. It's not an easy task. And guess what? There's a lot of forces out there that don't want us to succeed. The only thing that can stop us is us. No outside, I don't care who they ever see. We got God on our side. You know, you can't lose. But the only way we lose is if we stop. We control our own destiny. We are powerful people. We have a powerful network. You know the reason why we became the number one black circulating newspaper? I'm going to tell you the secret. First of all, I've been doing this for a long time. My database, my personal database is 262,000. Online, I can post online. I take me about 45 minutes. I can reach 5 million people. And like I say now, I can do this just for me. And there's no limit. I stopped it because it's just a lot of businesses, you know. But guess what? There's a lot of people on here has networks way larger than mine. Every time you share this publication or share the information with us, if you take this paper and give it to one person, you took the whole team of us and gave that person the whole team. This is our power. That's the power of one. Now, can you imagine? Just think about this. Say if we stepped up our game just a little bit more. We start sharing a little bit more. We start using our family, friends. So this is not about it. It's about them. They need to know. If we don't tell them, nobody else will. We have to tell our own stories. We have to share our story. You have to tell your story. And if you don't know how to do that, you can call me. I'll interview you myself. Because you need to tell your story. Because your story may inspire somebody else to continue on. It may inspire somebody else to the point that they may want to duplicate what you're doing, to carry the baton, to pass the baton on to you. But again, no matter what, we need one another. And I don't think you're here because you chose to be. I think we was ordered, all of us here. You know, I think God, our steps, everybody's steps are ordered. And there's no happenstance that you're here tonight. But I'm going to tell you this. Tomorrow, as I said, is not promised to none of us. If we all continue to do what we do, and I do believe that what we do is reciprocal. You give and you shall receive. Those dreams that you have, not coming, your dream, your vision. God put you in this group for a reason, to help you achieve your goals, your vision. And you're not an island. You need others to help you get there. And this is what this is all about. We help you. You help us. We help ourselves. And before I close out, I see Trudy has a hand up again. You know, Trudy, unmute yourself. Trudy, if you can't unmute yourself. Okay. With that being said, hopefully, you know, she'll get to that before I agree. But in any case, I want to thank each and every one of you for your time, because I know your time is valuable. We are very busy people, including myself, you know, and I know it takes time. But we need this time so that we can recognize one another, see what each other is doing, and how this is how we can support one another. But you have to show up. If you don't show up sometimes, you may miss a blessing. Like I said, I showed up three times this week. And the blessings I got from it, Trudy just said it herself, because they showed up, they met some wonderful and powerful people. Brother McKenzie, Dr. McKenzie said the same thing. When he showed up, the only thing, the key is to show up. Then anything after that is all right. Just show up. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you all good night. And please, if you can, make a concerted effort to be on tomorrow night. Because this ship is going somewhere. You need to be on it. You're going to meet some more people. And start taking some notes. Start dealing with one another. Pick up the paper. Call each other up. And I guarantee you, if you go through that paper, you can see somebody who can use your services. And not only that you can enhance what they're doing as well. Like I said, it's reciprocal. We have on this call right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so about 8 authors on here right now. They have books. Buy the books. It's powerful information. I got a big library here of people that's in the public, that's in the National Black Unity News. Powerful stuff. See, we not only talk about it, they documenting the stuff they do. Powerful stuff. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bid you all good night and thank you for your time. I hope to see you tomorrow at 7:30. We will send out a link because, you know, we send out the link by the day. So again, thank you all. I'm going to bid you all good night. Be safe. Take care. God bless.
Take care.
Good night. Thank you.
Hey.